Take your Bible, if you would, please, and open her up. You're going to need it. Okay. Let's go to 2 Peter, if you would. Let's see here. I'm trying out some new technology. In fact, it's too new. I didn't get a chance really much today to figure out how it all works. I'm trying to cut my cords and cables, so I don't have a cable here. So I'm trying to have it on the screen and not be locked down to a cable, which means that if I get it working right, I can actually come down, sit by Ian, and control the deal up on the screen. Never know, I just might do it one of these days. All right? 2 Peter chapter 3. Are you there? Say amen. Let's look at verse 10. It's up there on the screen, but I want you to see it in your Bible. Make some notes and so on. We're going to talk about the evil day that's coming. There is an evil day coming. Do you believe that? Amen. And we have not seen evil days yet, but we're going to. Okay? So you can imagine being, well, I wouldn't say that you guys would be with those people in Paris because they were at a rock concert. And according to what I read on the internet, it was pretty rotten, raunchy, satanic music. Okay? The song that they were all singing at the time they started firing shots was called Kiss the Devil. Not making that up, people. You cannot make stuff like that up. And so, I mean, there was an evil spirit in that place. And I believe in that. I believe in evil spirits, and I believe they have a lot of power over a lot of people in this world. So we're going to be confronted one of these days with an evil day. And again, you take this and you apply it, number one, to the prophetic. What is going to happen, what's coming down the pike in the last days, but also take these things and apply them to times in life when evil presents itself to you. I promise you, you have and will be in a situation that you would be able to call an evil day. Things are not going to be good. And I'll explain that as we go on. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, the Bible says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner," think about it now, "think about what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness." That means when you see stuff like this going on in the world, the last place you should be is a tavern or a bar, or some other woman's house, or some other man's house, or anything like that. It's the last place you ought to be. You ought to have your life right with God. You ought to have your sins under the blood. Amen? So you think about what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Now I'm going to talk about how the day of the Lord is a day of gloominess and darkness and evil and things like that. But here Peter tells us to hasten to the day. Lord, you cannot come soon enough for us. Amen? But this world wants to put it off. And I've talked about that all that before, so I'm not going to cover that again. Now take your Bible and turn to Amos chapter 5, verse 1. Amos chapter 5, verse 1. He's talking about the day of the Lord. And we're going to see that day, that for lost people now, the day of the Lord is not something that they want to take place. They don't want the day of the Lord. So in Amos chapter 5, verses, make sure I got it up on the screen there. Amos chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible says, "Hear ye this word which I take up against you, even a lamentation, O house of Israel." Now I want you to notice verse 2, because this is all in the context of the day of the Lord. You see it down in verses 16 and 17 and so on. He's going to talk about the day of the Lord. He says in verse 2, he said, "The virgin of Israel is fallen." Now I want you to think about that term and how it relates to other things in the Bible. In fact, let me do this just very quickly, just kind of go around the room. Name for me something in the Bible that falls. Give me something in the Bible. Raise your hand. I'll pick you. Go ahead, Rose. Babylon falls. Very good. Go ahead, Caleb. The walls of Jericho fall. Amen. That's good. Go ahead, Ryan. Goliath. Hey, I like that one. Goliath fell. Amen. Fell on his face to the earth. Anytime you see somebody falling on their face to the earth, they're worshiping God. And here's Goliath standing before David just like that. Go ahead, Jared. Angels from heaven. Not the good ones. Amen. Go ahead, JR. Huh? Dagon. 1 Samuel chapter 5, that's where it is. Lucifer, how thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Anybody else? Y'all are good. All right, let's be dismissed, going home. You got it. But he said, the virgin of Israel is fallen. Now, the Bible says the just fall 7 times. Okay? In your normal Christian walk, your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, you will stumble. You will make mistakes. You will not do everything right, say everything right, see everything right, hear everything right. You will not believe and think everything right. You will fall. But he said, a just man falls 7 times, he gets back up again. The danger is when people fall, they don't get back up. The Bible's teaching you something. Think about this, okay? I don't know if you've ever thought about this before. In the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 14, it says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? That was in the Old Testament. Then in the days of Jesus, he says, I saw Satan fall as lightning from heaven. That was in the time of Jesus. Then in Revelation chapter 12, there's a war in heaven, and the dragon and all of his angels are cast down out of heaven. So the question is, when does Satan fall? The past, the present, or the future? Yes. The answer is all three. He is a perpetual fallen. Think, where the bottomless pit? Where does the bottomless pit end? It doesn't. It is a perpetual falling. And when God cursed the serpent in the Garden of Eden, he cut him down to the ground. Remember what Isaiah said, how art thou cut down to the ground? What did God do to the serpent when he beguiled Eve and caused her to eat that fruit? Cursed him, took his legs off of him, and said, you're going to crawl around, you're going to be cut down to the ground. He is as low as anything can go. He's right there at the ground. And I see Satan as a constantly and perpetually, we don't understand this in our universe, but probably in the spiritual realm, it makes all the sense in the world. He is constantly, constantly falling, which means he's never getting back up. There is no redemption for the devil. Amen. He's not going to get saved. But anyway, we have the virgin of Israel is fallen. She shall no more rise. She is forsaken upon her land. There is none to raise her up. And if you look in that same chapter in verse 16, the Bible says, therefore, the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord saith thus, wailing shall be in all streets, and they shall say in all the highways, alas, alas, and they shall call the husbandmen to mourning, and such as are skillful of lamentation to wailing, and in all vineyards shall be wailing, for I will pass through thee, saith the Lord. Now, keep with that concept in mind of there is an evil day coming. It is the day of the Lord. We're going to see in a little bit that it's referred to as the day of trouble. And I want you to just kind of think about that. Keeping in mind, now this evil day is coming, and we see the Virgin of Israel, and she is falling. I want you to take your Bible and turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Some things here I want to show you, all right? 2 Thessalonians 2. Make sure that's working up there on the screen. All right, so far, so good. 2 Thessalonians, I'm not going to spend a ton of time in here, but it's a very, very revealing chapter. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1, he says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, Lord, any day now. Amen. Any day now, you can come and get, you can appear in the clouds and gather us up. We are ready to go. And if you're listening to me tonight, or you're sitting here and you're going, not so fast, I'm not ready. You know what you ought to do? You ought to pray right now. God, get me ready. Get me ready. Amen. Verse 2, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled. And what I want you to pay attention to the words of the Bible, because they're there for a reason. The day that we're talking about, is we're going to see it in the Bible, it's a day of trouble. And God is telling us, when that day comes, I don't want you to be troubled. Who in here remember September 11th, 2001. Never, you never forget it. Okay? Never forget it. Because the images of those towers falling, there was a day of trouble in this nation. They shut down. How many, you know how many airplanes are flying out of airports on any given day in this nation? Thousands of them. And they landed every single one of them on that day. They shut down the air. They shut down everything. The president, nobody knows where he is. They've got him away somewhere. We don't know. We're all of a sudden now, here this one plane flies in, and we're just aghast at that. And then while they're watching that one burn, here comes another one in. And we're just stunned over that one. And then we're watching that. Then we hear about the Pentagon. Then we hear about another plane that was headed somewhere. And we don't know where it was going. But we hear about all these things. And we're just going, is this coming our way? Is this coming our way? And I'll never forget. I'm so proud of her. Jared, your wife called me bawling her eyes out. What's going on? And I said, Chris, she said, is this the end of the world? I said, no. I said, but I know kind of what it is. And she said, well, I'm scared. I don't want to go to hell. And I said, you need to be scared. I don't want to go to hell either. And she got saved that night in her house. I was going to have her wait till the Wednesday night service. She said, I ain't waiting. Bless her heart. You see, we see those things like that. I did not call somebody that evening and say, I don't want to go to hell. I knew I was concerned. I knew that something serious was going on. Okay? I was not worried about where I was going to spend eternity. Be not troubled. Be not troubled on that day. You say, well, I don't know how to do that. God does. God knows how to put a spirit on you. And you just go, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I believe that's what he's going to do. Neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, is that the day of Christ is at hand. He said, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come. Here it is, a falling away first. This is why I ask you, give me some things in the Bible that fall, okay? I think that all of these things that we mentioned, Lucifer, we mentioned Dagon, we mentioned the walls of Jericho, we mentioned Babylon, we mentioned Goliath. We mentioned there are other things in the Bible that fall or have fallen. Eli fell when he found out the Ark of the Covenant had been taken and Ichabod was born. He fell off his seat backwards. And I think all of those are typological shadows and pictures of that day that is coming. Okay. Now, I don't think I know everything that's going to happen at some point in the future. I don't think I'm quite that smart, but I know enough about how the Bible talks. And I know not to change anything in the Bible. I know that our gathering together unto the Lord does not come until this falling away takes place. That is what it says. And you say, well, if I turn it like this, it doesn't say that anymore. Good for you. You've wrested the scriptures is what you've done. You've twisted it like two little snakes, all right? I don't do that. I say there's going to be falling away first, and the man of sin is going to be revealed. Okay, and I'm gonna give you some good. That's good. That's gonna happen that way. So just hang with me, all right? And he says, let the man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. I want you to, again, put this on the aspect of your life as you're living it now. There have been times. It's kind of like we was talking about September 11th. There are times when things happen and everybody else has fallen over it and you're not. I mean, you're concerned, but it's not shaking your faith. It's not destroying the foundation of your hope and your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, it's those days that we trust God more than any other day, because we figure out that we ain't got nothing else to trust in. Amen. So think about when everybody else loses it and some evil thing shows up. Here he mentions the man of sin, the son of perdition. Think about people falling into sin and yet God saved them. Can you think of a time in your life when people around you fell into sin and God kept you out of it? See how it works? And he says, who opposeth, verse 4, and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And you all know what I believe concerning that temple of God. It's the human body. Okay? It's like the ultimate of devil possession. It's what I think it is. And he said, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. He's not been revealed yet. So don't buy somebody's video saying, I know who the Antichrist is. You're wasting your money. But he said, verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Verse 8, and then shall that wicked, capital W, be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. Do you know what that is? The Bible. Amen? And with the bright, and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Here's Jesus coming, and he's shining like the sun. He's going to destroy all the powers of darkness one of these days. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know what? Here's how you fight wicked. God can destroy it with the spirit that comes out of his mouth. He can destroy it with his word. Verse 9 now, he says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. And he says in verse 10, with all deceivableness of an unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And something we can look back now, 15 years away from September 11, 2001, and we ask ourselves, where is the revival that should have taken place in America after 9-11? Never happened. Never happened. Yeah, a few people came to the Lord, a few people are still living it, but it never happened. You know why? Because most Americans do not love the truth. They do not love God. They do not want to be saved. They'd rather keep their sin. Yeah. So you know what God's going to do? He's going to give them a whole great big pile of it. So here you go. Eat it all up. Okay? For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Verse 12, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, we're going to go down to, what have I got up on the screen here? Verse 15 and 17. He tells us that there's falling away coming. And then he says in verse 15, he said, therefore, brethren, stand fast. He's telling you, don't be one of the falling ones on that day. You stand fast. And he said, hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. And by what he means by those traditions is he means the orthodox accepted doctrines that are found in your Bible. Don't be running after all this new stuff that's going around. Amen? Amen. Don't be chasing all these other new winds of doctrine. Don't be the Athenians who are always looking for some new thing to come along. And that's what you hear. You hear it out of the charismatic church. You hear it out of the Roman Catholic Church. You hear it out of the liberal churches, the emerging churches, the coffee shop churches, the churches that talk about sex every time. That's what you hear. Oh, we're doing some new things. God's doing new things in the church. And now it's time for a new reformation of the church. Don't fall for that stuff. It's a setup for the falling away. He said, you stand fast. If our forefathers believed that Jesus was the divine Son of God, He is God Almighty, He is the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. If your forefathers believed that, you believe that because they got it from the Word of God. If your forefathers believed that salvation was by grace through faith, by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, He was the substitutionary atonement for all of mankind's sins. If that's what they believed, you believe it because they believed it from the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. So anyway, he said, stand fast in those things. And he said, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you. There's another one of those words that has S-T-A in it. Establish. And that Latin prefix means like a statue. Doesn't move. Or a statute is a law that cannot be changed. It's statutory. Amen? Okay? I don't believe our Constitution should be easily changed.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. Amen. Okay? And he's saying, God, now here's the key right here. God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who will establish you. He's the one that planted you. He's the one, the husbandman that's taking care of you. He's the one who will comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. God will take care of you. Amen. God will take, when all the devils are piling on you, God will take care of you. I promise you, I've been through it. I know what it's like. And I'm telling you, God will take care of you. All right? You believe that? Say amen. But that's that standing part. Now, I've got a picture up here of the falling away. What it looks like. This is Daniel chapter 4. No, Daniel chapter 3. Thank you. Appreciate it. Daniel chapter 3. Okay? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar built an image, and it's got sixes all over. 60 cubits tall, 6 cubits wide. I remember I read that one day and I went, I think I know what that is. That's the beast. That's the image of the beast. Okay? And he puts out a proclamation. When you hear all kinds of music, when the praise and worship band gets started, singing 5 words 82 times in a row. When they get to playing all that stuff, I want everybody, what he had everybody do? Fall. That's what he had everybody do. And when that music started, everybody fell. You know why? I don't think they were so much worshiping that image as they were afraid of what was going to happen to them if they didn't. Are you listening to that? Let me tell you something. One of the greatest weapons. Hey, boys, it's important now. It's your generation. You're going to see this. One of the greatest weapons that the devil has against me is fear. Fear. Mike, you're not really saved. Mike, you're not. You can't live it. Mike, you can't do it. Mike, you're a waste. You're a big fraud standing up there in front of everybody. Mike, get out. Mike, I'm going to expose you. Mike, I'm going to tell everybody all about you because I know everything. Mike, I'm going to do this. Mike, get out of here like an animal. We'll try to show his teeth and build his haunches up and like a cat. Cats turn into something this big. When you shave them, they're like this. Okay? But they want to scare you. Okay? We were told, we saw Jimmy Cedric down there in the woods this weekend. Of course, Jimmy's got to tell us now that there's, in these mountains over here, Hassel Ridge is where we were hunting. And he said, in these mountains over here, he said, there are bobcats. And he said, there's mountain lions. And he said, there's feral hogs, wild boars running around. And those things are mean.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, of course, Caleb wants to walk by himself to the deer blind. Okay. He just wants to do it. And I said, son, no, I don't think so. Okay? And I took that seriously, all right? But here's the thing. The devil will use fear against you. You do what I tell you to do, or I will destroy you. And to be honest with you, that makes me afraid. But here's three men who had their hearts comforted. They had been established, which means we're not moving. And they even told Nebuchadnezzar, they said, Neb, you told us to do that, but here's the thing. We believe that our God will save us from your fiery furnace. But even if he doesn't, we're not moving. And we're not bowing in front of that. We're not doing it. And he went into a rage. You know the story. But what you're looking at is, I think, the shadow of 2 Thessalonians 2. You have the falling away in the plain of Dura. A plain, a low place, always represents like the kingdom of hell. A high place, like the mountain of God, always represents the kingdom of God. And here you have, down in the plain, here's these three young men who have been established. And they said, we're not falling for this. And if it costs us our life, then that's what we'll do. But the rest of the world fell away. Okay? The evil day came. Because that image represents the man of sin, the son of perdition, who's now been revealed to the people in Babylon. And they're saying, in the evil day, in this day of trouble, God has put it in our hearts to take a stand. You like that? Say amen.
Amen.
Now turn to Amos chapter 5. Spend a little time there in Amos. That was the pre-message. Okay. By the way, just a calendar note. Next, can you believe next week is Thanksgiving already? Yeah. Amos is right after Joel. We do not have Wednesday evening service the day before Thanksgiving. A lot of people have Thanksgiving Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, whatever. So we let families do that, all right? So we will not be here. I will not be able to finish this next Wednesday is what I'm saying. But anyway, Amos chapter 5, look at verse 18, all right? He said, "Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you?" That is the question you need to ask. Okay? Think of the day. Think of this prophetic now. Think of this. Boy, Jesus needs to come back, take care of all this. And I hear a lot of that from people on the internet. But the problem is, a lot of these people are not saved. They're not right with God. And they're wanting God to come back and take vengeance on all the wickedness of the earth. And they're forgetting about their own. And so we learned this back in 2 Peter, seeing that, you know, these things are coming. What manner of persons ought you to be in all your conversation, how you live your life? And here he says the same thing in Amos chapter 5. He said, the day of the Lord is coming. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? How is it going to turn out for you? When the Lord comes, when God calls your name to come and stand before Him. Think about how many people was there. See, I didn't have hardly any internet or anything like that out where we were camping. And my sister told me what happened. She sent me a text, said, "Did you hear about this?" "No, I didn't hear it." So I don't know exactly all the details. How many people were killed out there at that rock concert? 167 people. Just like that, 167 people are standing before a thrice holy God in His judgment seat. To what end was it for these people who were singing the song, "Kiss the Devil"? That's what they were doing when those shots rang out. I do not want my last song in this planet to be "Kiss the Devil," "Highway to Hell," "Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy" of Company B. I don't want it to anything but "Rock of Ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee." Amen. That's what I want, okay? To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. As if a man did... Watch this now. You know what these verses... I'm going to just give you what these verses are about. They're about you not being able to escape. As if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him. That's my luck.
Yeah.
That is the life that I live. My wife's over there shaking her head in sarcasm, mocking her husband. As if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him. Or he got away from the bear. He runs into the house, leans up his hand up against the wall. Whew. I made it. And a serpent bites him. That would be me. And he says in verse 20, "Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light? Even very dark. And no brightness in it." I want you. I think this way. Jesus said in John chapter 11, he's talking about how Lazarus was sick and how Lazarus has died. And right in the middle of that, he says, "Are there not 12 hours in a day?" And it just made me wonder, why is that there? Okay, and I've taught this before, but it fits perfectly here. Right now, this earth is divided. Okay, we are under the night. The stars and the moon are out there somewhere. And on the other side of the world, the sun is shining. But tomorrow morning, the sun's going to be shining on our half of the earth. And I want you to think that number 12 is what got me thinking about it. Because I know in the Old Testament, there were the 12 tribes. In the New Testament, there were 12 disciples. And they're both complementary to one another. It's just like my ribs. I got 12 on this side and 12 on this side. And that is a picture of God. And I even asked God, I said, "God, which side are we on?" Because I know the Gentiles, the 12, and the Jews, the 12. I said, "Which side are we on?" And I got to thinking about how the right hand, and we have the right hand of salvation on us and so on. And we're the people that God, you know, picked out of all the nations of the world and so on. And I got to thinking about it. And I thought, well, where is our heart? It's over here. That's where Israel is. And I read this passage where Moses told Aaron to make the breastplate. And he adorned it with 12 jewels.
Yeah.
And on the 12 jewels, he inscribed the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. And he specifically said this, and I cried. And he said, Aaron is to put that over him when he goes in to do the high priestly duty on the Day of Atonement, so that the names of the tribes of Israel would be on his heart when he does this thing. And I went, who did Jesus have on his mind when he was hanging on that cross? Where's his heart? It's sort of in the middle, but it really leans to the left. Because you cannot forget that Jesus loves his own people first.
Yes.
Don't we?
Yes, amen.
Sure we do.
Amen.
It's normal. It's not racist. It's normal. But that's where our Savior's heart is. Okay? And, the darkness and light thing. I remember now. 12 hours in the day. We are children of the day, he says, not children of the night. I think, typically, in a sort of prophetic type, the light is shining on the Gentiles right now. This is an English Bible. We are Gentiles. We are English people. There's Spanish people, and there's French people, and there's Russian people, and Chinese people. There's people all over this world that are partakers of the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ in this time. But one of these days, the light's going to come over here to Israel.
Amen.
Just like Moses coming down from Mount Sinai. And the light of the gospel is going to shine upon the 12 tribes, 12 hours of the day. What happens to the Gentile world? You read it right there. He said, shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark and no brightness in it. I think there's coming a time when God is going to plunge the Gentile world into total darkness. And they're not going to escape. That day is coming. Maybe you've had a day where you, at a time in your life, were in darkness. And you ask God, God, please shine a light. Show me the way out of here. Somebody say amen. That's good. Let's stand to our feet. Let's end it right there. That day of trouble now, the day of the Lord is coming. And the question is, to what end is it for you? And I don't know, just I'm going to ask everybody to bow your head, and I'm going to ask everybody online to just kind of, I want you to just kind of bow your head. I want you to just, you between you and the Lord. I want you to ask the Lord, God, where am I on this? If the day of the Lord were to come now, tonight, where would I be? How would it turn out for me? And I'll just tell you, I'll just be honest. What really puts even a question in our mind, even as Christians, about where we're going to spend eternity, it's usually sin that puts that question mark in our mind and our heart. It usually is. So you ask tonight, you ask the Lord for you. If the day of the Lord were at night, to what end would it be for me? How would it turn out for me? God will give the answer. All right?